Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The band is back together. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, David Janes here with you. We are all in different locations, however. I am live at Assembly Food Hall across the street from Bridgestone Arena. We are on the south stage on level two. The SEC tournament continues. We will get into that a little bit later. Unfortunately, Vanderbilt will no longer be a part of the proceedings. They were eliminated from the SEC tournament yesterday. But first, let's just welcome back Derek Mason. Derek, we missed you. Yes. How are you feeling?
Hey, I'm not quite 100%, but I'm close enough. I wanted to come in today, but man, I couldn't do it. I walked from my bedroom to the kitchen and back and out of breath. So Derek has been fighting the flu. Yes. I've been fighting the flu the last, since early Monday morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning. That's the worst right time. When it hits you at 3 o'clock, and you can't do anything about it, you can't call anybody because all the doctor's offices are closed, and you don't want to go to emergency, not over a cold anyway or flu. So I had to deal with it and end up going to the walk-in clinic. But I'm on the mend now. But the bad part about it, y'all know when you got a house, when you got people in the house, kids and family, eventually they get sick. So now that I'm getting better, everybody else is getting sick. My daughter's sick. My son's sick. Everybody's sick now, and I'm the one that's getting better. So, I miss you guys too. It gets a little boring being at home in the bed, man. Even though some days you love it, after a while, you want to get out and go do something. So I'm glad to be back on today.
Well, we have a special guest right off the hop joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Nashville Predators forward Steven Stamkos. The Predators are back in action tomorrow against the Anaheim Ducks. Steven, thank you so much for joining us. There was a stretch not too long ago where you couldn't buy a point, and now over the past four games, you can't stop scoring. So what has been working well for you personally over these past four games versus the previous 13?
Yeah, I wish I had an exact answer. Or you get a point every single night, but it's it's just one of those things where, throughout the course of your career, there's going to be stretches, good and bad, and you try to ride them out a little bit, both ways. And when you do finally start scoring or get a point or get a bounce, obviously you gain a little more confidence and you're starting to feel a little better about your game. And I think that was just the case there. And like I said, you just try to ride it as long as you can.
Steven, I know that this is a situation that you have not found yourself in very much in your illustrious career, with the season winding down. The Predators are in position to miss the playoffs. How do you and the other leaders keep morale high in the dressing room over these final few weeks of the regular season, knowing that the playoffs are probably an impossibility?
Yeah, it's tough. Like you said, for me, not really being in this position that much, you're fortunate to be on some good teams. And, if you ask any player in the league, this is the time of the year where it's the most fun, when you're gearing up for a playoff push or you're getting ready to see who you're going to play in the playoffs. And these games mean so much, and really nothing needs to be said. Guys are motivated by that. And when you're in the position that we're in, the tough part is to try to find something to motivate you. At the end of the day, this is your job, and you have pride. And you have to, as a player, find something to get you through this last stretch, whether it's feeling good about your game heading into the off season, whether it's building on a system, you know, with the team that's, you know, going to get you into next year, try to build some momentum that way. You know, everyone wants to feel good about themselves each and every night. And the only way you're going to do that is if you go out there and be a professional and work hard and do the little things, you know, regardless of the result. We all understand the position we're in. You look at how, you know, many guys are getting an opportunity, you know, some of the young guys that are playing and coming up from the AHL or injuries, and guys are getting more ice time. So there's little things that each player individually can look upon and try to build off of, and I think that's what we all understand.
We're talking to Steven Stamkos, Predators forward, and another goal the other night in San Jose to move up into a tie for 22nd all-time in the goal-scoring list. And Stammer, we talked the other day about Mike Bossy. Now the next guy that you catch, it's so cool to go back through history, Mark Recchi, who I think Predator fans who can go back to sort of the beginning of the franchise in the early years might remember Mark Recchi. What do you remember about him, you know, as you go back and think about all these names from the past?
Yeah, I actually got a chance to play with Mark Recchi my rookie season in Tampa.
Wow.
So probably dating myself a little bit there. But, my first year, Tampa had Gary Roberts. We had Mark Recchi. We had some amazing veteran leadership on that team. We ended up trading him. I can't remember if it was the first deadline or the second deadline to Boston. And then he went on to win the cup there with them. So he was still an outstanding player. I think he was in his early 40s at the time. And I was 18. So learned a lot from him. Just a tremendous player, obviously a Hall of Fame player. But I think it's pretty cool that I got a chance to play with him and get to know him. And still such a productive player at that age. So it was pretty impressive.
You know, that I think about that, and Gary Roberts, another guy you mentioned, is famously a guy that worked extremely hard and now has passed that along to so many other players of how to stay in shape and stay in the condition you need to be in to stay productive into your mid to late 30s. I'm sure you've had great influence by guys like that, and that's got to drive you to be able to look at the next stages of your career as you try to help lead this franchise back to where it wants to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I look at where I am in my career and where guys were when I was that young guy coming in, and you know, whether it was Gary Roberts or Mark Recchi, like we mentioned, whether it was Marty St. Louis or Vinny LeCavalier when I got there in Tampa. I mean, those guys were, you know, in their late 20s to early 30s and moved into their mid 30s, you know, when I was playing with them. So it was pretty cool to see how they took care of themselves on and off the ice, how they acted towards the young guys, what they did to not only better themselves, but better their young teammates. And, you know, whether you're paying attention to it or not, you know, these young guys are always watching you. They're always looking towards you for guidance, and whether you're in the gym or on the ice, I mean, you may not notice it, but I was always watching those guys as a young guy to see what they did before practice, to see what they did after practice, to see what they did in the gym. So, you know, there's responsibility in being a veteran guy that, you know, you need to show them the way that you were taught from some of those great players and try to pass that information along.
We're talking to Steven Stamkos. The Predators have won their last four. They're back in action tomorrow night against the Anaheim Ducks. And, Steven, you've been playing with Ryan O'Reilly these last couple of games. And I think about the trade deadline, and Barry Trotz has been pretty vocal. He thinks you guys can absolutely bounce back and be the type of team that you have expectations for next year. And he probably could have moved a lot of guys if he wanted to, but he's kept a lot of guys around that I think would be a big part of next year's team. One of them certainly is Ryan O'Reilly. Can you talk to the fans about playing with a guy like that, doing some of the things he does that maybe are not as easy to notice for just more casual fans?
Yeah, I think it starts on the ice. You look at his 200-foot game. He's always in the right position. He's never a guy that is out there cheating for offense. He's doing it the right way with having one of the best sticks in the entire league in terms of knocking plays down or reading a play and pickpocketing a guy. I mean, he's just always in the right position. And, you know, and he's going to give you 100% every night no matter what. And to have a centerman like that on the ice, you know, who bears a lot of responsibility, especially in the defensive zone, you know, with the system that we play, it's not easy work. It's taxing. But for someone, you know, especially his age, and, you know, he's won in this league. He's won everywhere he's been. To bring that every night, it's a contagious thing. And as a player, he's obviously got some unbelievable hockey IQ and defensively and also offensively too. And to play with him the last couple of games, you know, Ryan and I didn't really play all that much together this year. So it was kind of exciting to get a chance to play a few games on the wing with him. And, you know, he makes plays, he finds guys, and you know, he's a guy you want on your team, especially hopefully, you know, next year come playoff time, because that's when he really shines. And off the ice, you know, just a great guy, just, you know, gets the guys together all the time, is a guy that speaks up in the locker room, and just respected by the whole group. So, you know, a pretty valuable piece to have on your team.
As you guys talk about that vision of where you want to be next year, is that something like how important are these next games in building towards that? And what's your vision of how this team bounces back amongst the things that you can control, right? You can't control who gets traded, who they sign, that kind of thing. But what are your thoughts along those lines?
Yeah, like I said earlier, I mean, you have to find a way to motivate yourself individually these last, you know, 17, 18 games to build towards something. I mean, the easy thing to do would say, oh, well, we're out and whatever happens, happens. Let's go have some fun. You know, that's just not going to cut it. And, you know, sometimes it's hard. We understand that. We're all so competitive and we want to be playing meaningful games, and myself included, your mind starts to wander a little bit and, you know, you're disappointed in how the season's gone, but, you know, you do, you have to find a way to play your hardest and understand the situation, but try to build towards something. And, you know, we understand, you know, how tough this season's been, but, you know, for the guys that are going to be around, you know, next year, like you said, you know, we don't have control over, you know, trades or signings or things like that. But I think if you ask anyone, everyone's answer is the same, that we want to be part of that solution and get back into playoff contention. And that's all you can ask for, is to be in the mix.
Well, Stammer, we appreciate your time this morning. I would say that can we do something about the weather we've got here in Southern California? This is really not. This is more like Boston or something. Like, what's this 50 degree rain stuff that we're getting here when we got a day off?
We didn't get the nice Cali sun, that's for sure. But we'll it's just kind of been how the season's been going, I guess. But we'll fight through it, and we'll still enjoy it.
Steven Stamkos, Predators forward, joining us on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick. Steven, thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Steven Stamkos joining us on the program. The Predators are back in action tomorrow night against the Anaheim Ducks with a 9 o'clock puck drop. Before we get to Tim Hasselbeck, gentlemen, we did have some breaking quarterback news in the NFL. Mason Rudolph. Who says you can't go home? Mason Rudolph leaving Nashville, returning to Pittsburgh, signing with the Steelers, 2 years, $8 million. Willie, we've talked about the frontier of quarterbacks. Resources are scarce on the frontier when it comes to veteran quarterbacks at the moment.
Yeah, well, I'm curious about what D-Mace thinks. Since he's last been on with us, you know, a lot of the dance partners have partnered up. You know, there's less out there, and so you do wonder what the Titans are going to do. We specifically with Rudolph, I think we all knew that it would be a tough sell to bring him back, but they got to have somebody. So, D-Base, what do you think as a lot of these guys find new homes?
I just think, especially for these older quarterbacks, I just think the NFL is sort of turning over a new leaf. They rather go with the younger quarterback, you know, and not have to pay him a lot of money than some of these high-priced quarterbacks that are in their 30s. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is still on the market, guys like that. But if they can get a guy for cheap, you know, with the money that these quarterbacks are making now, teams would rather – you know, get someone that is cost effective at that position that they can still win with. That's why you see, you know, some of these guys that are still, you know, out there, because they probably want a lot of money or more money than what teams are willing to pay. So we all knew Sam Darnold was more than likely going to be the first domino to drop as far as bigger contracts. But then after that, who was going to be next? You still got Russell Wilson out there. You don't know if he's going back to Pittsburgh or not. Pittsburgh is in a dilemma, sort of just like the Titans. But the difference with the Titans and Pittsburgh is the Titans got the number one pick. So if they choose to take a quarterback, they can do it. Pittsburgh are not, they're not sitting in the same positions. Some of these quarterbacks now, because you don't see these guys signing now, this happens just about every year, whether it be at the quarterback position or at the receiver position or at the offensive line position. Typically that first wave, you know, you see guys going, and then it's usually that second wave where teams get more of a bargain for the players that they get, that they're going to sign. So I think eventually a lot of these guys will get signed, but it may not be on this first wave. It may not be until after the draft that a lot of these guys get signed.
A lot of activity for the Tennessee Titans yesterday. They traded Kenneth Murray to the Dallas Cowboys. It was Kenneth Murray and a 7th-round pick for a 6th-round pick. They signed Kevin Zeitler, former Pro Bowl guard, to a 1-year, $9 million deal. They also signed Draymond Jones to a 1-year, $10 million deal, the free agent defensive lineman. So a lot of activity for the Tennessee Titans yesterday. Before we get to Tim Derrick, since this is the first time we've had you on this week, I would love to get your thoughts on everything the Titans have done this week, starting with the signing of Dan Moore early in the week to shore up the offensive line. They now add Kevin Zeitler to the offensive line. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine left the Titans, signed with the Miami Dolphins. Just your overall analysis of what the Titans have done so far this week. Did we lose Derek?
I don't know what happened.
Leaving us on pins and needles, Derek Mason.
Derek is frozen on the screen.
We will get Derek's thoughts.
Yes.
That's okay. Leaving us with bated breath. All right, Derek, there you are.
Now, what did you say? I'm sorry, Adam.
Just a general comment.
I wanted to know
heard. Yeah. What's your thoughts of the Titans' maneuverings while you've been on the shelf?
The one that I don't understand, I think that the signing of the offensive lineman, I think that was great. Zeitler coming from a former first-round pick, I think, of the Cincinnati Bengals, a guy that has played a lot of football, an Iron Man type of player, a guy that I don't think missed many snaps last year, if any, behind that great offensive line in Detroit. So bringing him in, I think that was a huge addition. They brought in a left tackle. So what are they going to do with their left tackle? Are they going to move him to right? And then, you know, put the guy that they got at left tackle, put him at left tackle. I can't get all their names right now, but I know that they made their moves in regards to the offensive line. So I like those moves because they're solidifying this offensive line that needs some depth and that needs some players. I think they're doing a good job at that. But one I didn't understand was Murray. This is a guy that you brought in last year, and I know he was brought in under the last regime, but he played damn good football. And for you to give him away basically for a swap, a pick swap, I'm not sure if that was, you know, I don't think that was, you know, maybe one of the better moves from the Tennessee Titans. But, you know, once the season gets started, we'll see. Because I thought Murray was a damn good player. I thought he was the type of guy that you would love to have on your defense, an aggressive guy. But obviously they thought different. So that's the one that kind of baffled me a little bit. But everything else, I thought, you know, them moving off from Stonehouse, bringing in another kicker, I think they needed to do that. We talked about Stonehouse after he broke his leg. His confidence was shot pretty much. So it's good that they found another punter that can come in and get the job done. But beside that, the only one that I sort of scratched my head about was Murray Jr. and why they let him go. Maybe they didn't want to pay him eventually, but I thought he was a damn good player the year he was here last year. The team just wasn't good. So, but every other move that they made, I thought it was good moves, especially the offensive line. And then
615-737.
Then bringing in Vance Johnson. I mean, Vance Jefferson. I think that was an upgrade to the receiving core, meaning they add more depth. I would have liked to see Nick Westbrook-Ikhineke, but they chose to move away from him. So I think that was a good move to bring in Vance Jefferson.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on what the Titans have done. We will get more into the moves yesterday, Kevin Zeitler and Draymond Jones, later in the program. But Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us next. 615-737-1025. I am live out at Assembly Food Hall across the street from Bridgestone Arena. SEC tournament action resumes in a roughly 30 minutes. Tim Hasselbeck coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game.
All right, I'm back.
All right, Derek's back. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. I am live out at Assembly Food Hall. Come find us on floor number 2. But we are joined by ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, let's just start with two of the moves that the Tennessee Titans have made so far this week. The first big one, signing Dan Moore, the offensive tackle, 4 years, $82 million, $50 million guaranteed. Yesterday, they signed Kevin Zeitler to a 1 year, $9 million deal. So they've shored up their offensive line at left tackle, at right guard. We assume J.C. Latham shifts over to right tackle. Your thoughts on the remade Tennessee Titans offensive line this week?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously get a sense of where the team feels like they were sitting personnel-wise. And, you know, a lot of times when people make moves in free agency, you know, it's the receiver moves that make the splash and, you know, hit the headlines and are on the, you know, bottom ticker at ESPN and all that stuff. But, you know, it's usually probably moves like these that, you know, really end up defining the personality of a team and the makeup of a team. And so, you know, I think at a minimum, it's an acknowledgement of where, you know, the team feels like they were behind and where the team feels like they need to invest.
So right before we came on, Tim, Mason Rudolph went back to Pittsburgh, signed a 2-year deal with the Steelers. Willie likes to use the metaphor of the frontier. You have your Joneses out there, your Rudolphs, your Wilsons of all kinds. But resources are starting to become scarce on this frontier. Just because of all of the movement around the NFL at quarterback, there are still some big names at quarterback, of course, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, but based on the quarterbacks that are left on the market, is there one that you see who would be best suited to be a member of the Tennessee Titans, perhaps as a backup quarterback, a mentor if they draft Cam Ward? Is there a quarterback remaining that you think the Titans should focus on?
I mean, I don't. I mean, I feel like the market, like, I don't know that there's a difference of anybody left on the market. Like, Aaron Rodgers is not, you know, I said early on, like, I thought that he would maybe, you know, end up as, you know, a Titan, you know, primarily because I thought that, like, when the dust settled, you know, there wouldn't be any other landing spots. Now, obviously, if the Titans draft a quarterback, that changes things drastically. But no, I don't think that there's a guy sitting out there right now that I feel like is, hey, like that guy needs to be the mentor. And look, and sometimes it's just a matter of like, does the guy have the right personality? And, you know, is the guy at the right stage of his career? And is the guy, you know, resigned to the fact that he's not a starter anymore? And so I don't feel like that is necessarily out there. You know, like you look at Jacoby Brissett, you know, making a move, like, would that have been the move? Like, I don't know that it matters. And I think that, you know, the team is going to coach the position the way, you know, they feel like it should be coached. And truthfully, like that should be good enough. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I would look at that, you know, in regards to the quarterback room and, you know, how you kind of, you know, see it playing out going forward.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, and Tim, just on the frontier, right? Then my vision is, you know, obviously if they're going to draft Cam Ward, that's what they're going to do. And that takes you in the direction that they're going to be headed. The other direction is I call it exploratory. You're tabling the quarterback position for a year while you set the rest of your roster. And so another name that's still out there that came up a little bit that we bounced around yesterday, we'd love to get your thoughts, is Carson Wentz, who has been sort of on the witness protection program the last couple of years, but this would be six teams in 6 years. But the last two stops are a little intriguing because he was with the Rams and then the Chiefs, you know, a couple of good programs that know what they're doing with quarterbacks. So what do you think about him this stage of his career? If you were just going to take, you know, the exploratory, let's see what this guy's got, not pay him much, and, you know, let's see if he's better than Will Levis.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, if – and look, I don't know. Like, I think if you were going to do that, then, like, would you have been in the Daniel Jones market? You know, would you have been – like, and I don't – at least to my knowledge, it doesn't feel like – you know, the Titans were. So, like, you know, on Carson Wentz, like, I think if you're going to be interested in Carson Wentz, I think you might as well have been interested in Daniel Jones. You know, to me, I think there was talk at times about, does Carson Wentz even want to keep playing football? Does Carson Wentz, like, was he going to end up signing with somebody? Now, it came back around, and he did, and to your point, like, made a few stops. Maybe he's grown as a quarterback. So could you do that? Sure. You know, and so could you table quarterback and say, look, we're going to add someone like that who still views himself as a starter, an opportunity to compete. Yeah. I guess the part that I would say is, you know, it felt to me like people were very impatient with how the season went this past year for the Titans. And, you know, there was, felt like a lot of pressure for, you know, a first year coaching staff. And so the idea of, you know, trying to make it better in year two with Will Levis and Carson Wentz seems like a real risky proposition.
So does that lead you to believe that they're going to take the quarterback with the first pick? Because we're watching all these other people. You mentioned Daniel Jones, and all these others are gone. So is your hunch that this could be that their lack of jumping out to grab one of these other guys who is a placeholder or a bounce back candidate, that this is leading you in that direction?
It is, because otherwise you get left without a quarterback. You know, you're just left out in the cold. What happens to you is what happens to the Raiders last year. Now, I think the Raiders were picking 12 last year, but they never thought that they would just miss completely on a quarterback. Like, I think they just read the market wrong, but they never thought that going into the season with Aiden O'Connell as their starter was the right thing to do, was going to help Antonio Pierce keep that job. Like, they never thought that that would be the case. So, yeah, I mean, I think if you're not involved in Sam Darnold, if you're not involved in Russell Wilson, if you're not involved in Justin Fields, if you're not involved, you know, in Daniel Jones and all of these guys, then what are you doing? And, like, and but you pick one. So, you know, the sense is that, yeah, I think you're taking a quarterback.
We talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now, Tim, is that an indictment on regime for the Titans that they had to go out and get another left tackle and now move J.C. Latham back to right tackle? Or do you just think that that's just be the best fit for this team and the best opportunity for this team to have the best offensive line?
Yeah, my guess is that, you know, and you know this, D-Mace, like, mm-hmm. you know, what personnel thinks and what the coaching staff thinks, you know, don't always align. And then as soon as a coach gets, you know, start coaching somebody, you know, his perception can change a little bit. And so, look, I would guess that, you know, the offensive line decisions are being made by Bill Callahan. Like, that would be my guess. I would say that he's had the opportunity to see guys get coached, see their strengths and their weaknesses, see what he maybe thinks that they are best at doing, see what the market is in terms of who's out there and what they could play. And so, you know, is that an indictment on the personnel department? Like, look, I mean, in some ways, yeah, in some ways maybe it is. But also, like, I think that, look, you see it happen all the time. Like, mm-hmm. Mekhi Becton got drafted to be a left tackle. It didn't work at all. You know, he ends up playing right guard and, you know, ends up being a high priority, you know, free agent for people because of what he did to this past year at right guard. So, look, it doesn't mean a guy can't play. It doesn't mean somebody got it completely wrong. But, you know, maybe identifying the proper fit takes a little time. It takes, you know, an opportunity to coach somebody to see what they can do best.
Now, are you surprised by some of these moves that were made, not just the signings, but the trades, DK Metcalf, Geno Smith going from one team to another, Laremy Tunsil, big names like that being moved this offseason?
I am, you know, like, especially like on somebody like DK Metcalf, like that one surprised me. Same thing with offensive linemen like Tunsil that, you know, guys that can play, guys that are valuable. Like, I mean, everybody sees it. Titans have lived it in terms of, you know, offensive linemen. With the Geno Smith trade, like, obviously you can connect the dots because of, mm-hmm. you know, prior relationships and all of that. But, like, that's not normal to, you know, have that type of thing, you know, happen. And you look at Seattle and, you know, the move that they make, especially when they've, you know, like you kind of said what they've said in the past about Geno Smith. So yeah, mm-hmm. like the wave of activity, the name recognition of the people involved, all of that was, it felt fast and furious and was surprising. And look, it's exciting, obviously, for NFL fans. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't mean that, you know, draft day is going to end up being boring without trades. You know, because maybe everything, you know, the first wave of all this has already happened.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL yes. analyst, joining. I am. Can you hear me? There I am.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got a little delay with all of us here, but we're scattered okay. across the galaxy here.
Yes.
yes. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us on D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick. Tim, as always, a pleasure. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. See you, fellas.
Yep.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts. We'll get into more of what the Titans did yesterday. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Predators fans, want to win tickets to a Preds game? Then be listening to Robbie and Rexrow tomorrow morning for Preds Pick to Click. All you have to do is guess a Preds goal score, and if they put the puck in the back of the net, you win. Be listening tomorrow morning for the cue to call on Robbie and Rexrow. Tune into 93.3 FM Totally Hits tonight for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders take on Louisiana Tech in the Conference USA tournament. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. and pregame starts at 7:30. Coverage is also available on 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. I want to pick up on something that Derek asked Tim Hasselbeck.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah. So, hey, Adam, hey. Nope. Don't do that, Adam. Don't do it, Adam.
We've got to talk about the story.
Yes. yes. You can't just skirt past this, Adam.
Don't act like you're not watching.
Exactly.
Don't be in denial.
We know there's TVs there.
Let me just say this.
Exactly.
I'm eating a delicious burger from Pharmacy Burger. If you are within the sound of my voice, it's on this level of Assembly Food Hall. Go check it out. I do not want to get sick all over this table and all over this equipment. So we're just going to skirt past this for right now so that I can do the show like a professional.
Well, here's what's going on.
What they're talking about, for those of you who aren't listening, is that Cooper Flagg was injured in Duke's first round, or whatever round it is in the ACC tournament, their first game in the ACC tournament against Georgia Tech. So I'm trying to keep down my delicious pharmacy burger. So let's just move on.
You should be in a good mood because your American Eagles, American University,
indeed,
is going dancing. So you got to be on that bandwagon, hardcore. But Flag
first time
came
since
down
2014,
his,
so I'm very
yeah. Flag came down hard on his ankle, and he's had to leave the bench. And Georgia Tech is leading Duke 31-26. And how it? I think number one. If that injury is significant, and we don't really know if it is or not, but he twisted it hard. It would be surprising to me if he's able to come back in this game or probably the rest of the ACC tournament. I think that would be not surprising at all, which opens up a spot for a team that wouldn't be in the big dance. Somebody like, let's just pick one, North Carolina or another below-the-bubble team, Wake Forest, or the winner of that game tonight. If they could get around Duke without Cooper Flagg and win the ACC tournament, there's a bid that's gone for somebody. And with Vanderbilt losing yesterday, I think they're still in pretty good shape. But at the same time, you never know what happens that changes the bubble, right? So that's what might cause them some anxiety over these next couple of days after losing to Texas yesterday. So this is something to watch because the committee has to consider seeding too as they try to assess the injury, because how do you know? Like, you still got to seed Duke first, I think, no matter what. But what if they're playing a 16 seed and Flag's not ready to come back in the first round? These are all the questions that will now come up. This is a big story. Mm-hmm.
So I want to touch on something that Derek asked Tim Hasselbeck. So the Titans signed Dan Moore, the offensive tackle from the Pittsburgh Steelers, earlier this week. He plays left tackle. We all assume and expect that J.C. Latham will play right tackle after the Titans drafted him to play left tackle. And, Derek, you asked Tim Hasselbeck if he considers it an indictment of the Titans, the previous Titans regime, for drafting J.C. Latham so high, and now 1 year later he could be switched to the other position. What are your thoughts on that specific topic?
That's what I'm trying to figure out here, because J.C. Latham, he struggled his first year. He was up and down, but you thought he was making progress. But then they go out and get Dan Moore, who has played left tackle for his whole career. You go out and get him, a veteran guy. So, you know, automatically you think it's sort of kind of, you know, Willie, they had this sort of I'm not going to say a problem. But they were in this dilemma some years ago with Taylor Lewan and whether, you know, them drafting Jack Conklin. Will they move Jack Conklin? Because Jack Conklin was a left tackle coming out of college. Would they move Taylor Lewan to right tackle and Jack Conklin to left? And Taylor vehemently say, listen, I'm a left tackle. And this is where I'm staying. And it worked out perfectly. Taylor was a stalwart at that position when he was healthy. He was one of the best left tackles in the league. And then they moved Conklin to right, and it worked out for him. I'm just wondering, you know, what decisions were made in drafting J.C. Latham? Was everybody on board to say he was a left tackle? Because the next following year, you go get you a left tackle in free agency, and then more than going to switch JC to right, his primary position he played in college. So I'm just asking a question, you know, is that one of the reasons, after everything is said and done, that they chose to go away from Rand Carthon because of decisions like that?
I would love to hear some explanation when the time comes of what went into this, because it could be two things. It could be what you're saying, D-Mace, that they don't project Latham as a long-term top-level left tackle and they think he could be, say, a very top-level right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that it could be is, look, we've got to fix this offensive line. We've got our biggest weakness on the team at right tackle. And here's a guy, the best guy available, as flawed as he might be, is Dan Moore. And Dan Moore cannot play right tackle. He's got to play left tackle. So how is our team best served for this next coming year? Well, let's overpay for Dan Moore, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stick him in there at left tackle, and let's make J.C. Latham the best young right tackle in the league. If that's their assessment, I get that.
Uh-huh.
Because if that's the only way that they could fix the right tackle problem, then I can see that. But I agree with you, D-Mace. I was surprised because I thought that they were saying, as the season progressed last year, and this is before Mike Borgonzi got there, but I thought by all accounts they liked the direction J.C. Latham was playing at left tackle. They liked where that was going with Latham at left tackle.
And that's what I thought is that they, J.C. Latham was improving, and they were delighted to see that he was growing at that left tackle position. They knew he was going to have his ups and downs, but the way they presented it to everyone was, okay, he's getting better. And then you go out, and this is what I want people to understand. They go out and they get them a left tackle. The left tackle they go out and get gave up 12 sacks last year. Okay, he did not grade well. Now take PFF for what it take it for what it's worth. Okay, some people agree with it, some people don't. But he gave up 12 sacks for a team that has given up just about more sacks than anyone over the last 2 years. Why do you go out and get someone that has given up 12 sacks? Now I didn't watch all the Pittsburgh games, so maybe it all wasn't on him. But you know, you go out and get a guy that may not even be better than the guy that was playing left tackle last year. So is it an indictment on the last regime, or is it just this regime looking at it as, okay, if we want to have the best offensive line we could possibly have, our best thing to do is to move JC to right, go out and get more, help him a little bit, run the offense the way we're going to run it, get rid of the ball quickly and do it that way. But if you're just looking at the numbers, he didn't grade out at all. I mean, this guy, he wasn't good at all. And I'm just telling you based upon the grades. Now, again, I didn't watch him a lot in Pittsburgh, with the exception of a few games, but he didn't grade out well. So that, let's continue to look at that as the season goes on, if indeed they choose to put Dan Moore Jr. at left tackle and move JC over to right.
615-737-1025, your thoughts on the revamped Tennessee Titans offensive line. Let us know, 615-737-1025. We are live, or I am live, at Assembly Food Hall, South Stage on Level 2. SAC watch parties on Sky Deck all weekend long. Check out assemblyfoodhall.com for details. 615-737-1025. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.